I would invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If you're following along in your pew Bibles, that's on page 946, Romans 10. We'll read beginning at verse 14 and to the end of the chapter as we consider hearing the gospel. This is the word of God, Romans 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word, inspired, inerrant, infallible. We know that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you always for your word. It's your word, Father. It's the word of Christ, word that always points us to Christ, our need for Christ, our need for salvation in Christ, our need for forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you for setting your love upon us in Christ. We thank you for the good news of the gospel and giving to us your Holy Spirit. And we pray this morning, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us by the truth of your word. And send us forth, Father, as your messengers. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when was the last time that you heard some good news? A little bit of good news this week. News that vaccinated people can now stop wearing masks when they're outdoors or indoors in some stores. Other good news. Announcement of graduations, arrival of a new grandchild, news that a loved one's cancer is in remission, good news that it's almost the last day of school. When we hear good news, we're ready to give a hopeful smile before we share that good news with others. You know, here the church at Rome, and would invite you to keep your Bibles open here to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and following. You know, the church at Rome has heard the good news. We finished with this verse last Lord's Day, Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, but throughout this epistle, we call Romans, God's word repeatedly heralds the good news of the gospel, both to Jews and to Gentiles. You know, but there's a serious spiritual problem that's uncovered here in Romans 10, verse 14 and following. And the problem is this, that Israel has heard the gospel, but they did not herald the gospel. You know, they've heard the gospel preached and proclaimed, and yet there's a resistance, a failure for them to share this good news with others. And a lesson here for us as well. And this is the lesson. All those who faithfully hear God's word will gladly herald it. That's one of the fruits of our faith. If we've really heard the gospel, then we will be used of the Lord to herald it, to proclaim it to others. What should we all hear about God's gospel? There's a gospel strategy here in verses 14 and 15, a gospel stoniness, call it, in verses 16 through 18, but then a gospel sovereignty in verses 19 through 21. You know, but here, again, keep your Bibles open here to Romans 10, verse 14. It builds on that gospel promise, you know, with verse 13 ringing in our ears, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. But now this is where the rubber meets the road. We'll see that there are problems here for the church, challenges. But God's word gives a gospel strategy for heralding the good news, for preaching the good news to others. You know, and here in verses 14 through 15, there are parallels to God's golden chain of salvation that we studied in Romans 8:29 through 30. I will humbly call it, the gracious cords of the gospel. You'll see there's four knots, four links in this gospel, four questions that are asked to engage the believers. First question, there in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Remember, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But the question then arises, how then will they call on him on whom they have not believed? They don't have faith in the Lord. The pronoun they, you'll see it repeatedly here, refers to Jewish believers, or at least Jewish hearers of the word. You know, and that word call means to call on the Lord in prayer, to cry out to the Lord, Lord, deliver me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, save me. We have a hint of it here in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. You're familiar with this great Old Testament story, true story. Jonah is there in the belly of the fish by God's sovereign plan. And Jonah, these are his words, Jonah 2, 2. I called out to the Lord. That's the phrase. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. You know, the Lord hears us when we call upon him, when we cry out to him. You know, so it's a cry for deliverance, a cry for salvation, to call out with faith in Christ. R.C. Sproul put it this way, so before anyone will ever call upon Christ, he has to believe that Jesus is capable of saving. The second question, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? You know, to possess faith in Christ means that you have first heard the name of Christ proclaimed as the Son of God and Savior of sinners. Third question that is asked here. And how are the Jews to hear without someone preaching? You know, preaching means to herald the gospel hope of Christ to sinners, to proclaim God's gracious promise of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, means that we preach all of the Word of God to all the people and let the Holy Spirit do His work. If you want a more formal definition of preaching, just a one-sentence definition, preaching is God speaking in the power of His Spirit about His Son from His Word through a man. I'll say that again. Preaching is God speaking in the power of His Spirit about His Son from His Word through a man. That was a definition a few years back from Thabiti Anyabwile, who's a Reformed Baptist preacher in Washington, D.C. You know, how are they to hear without someone preaching the gospel? And the fourth and final question, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? You know, God graciously selects and sends out His gospel servants to preach His good news to hopeless and hurting ones. You know, that was Paul's own testimony. If you go back to the beginning of Romans, Romans chapter 1, the opening verses, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know, Paul himself bears witness. How can they hear and be saved unless God graciously sends out His servant to preach the word? You know, take a look again at those four verses, not to confuse you, but hopefully to help us understand. You know, the Apostle Paul actually begins at the finish line and goes back to the starting line. These are regressive questions. You know, to look at them really from start to finish, you know, looking there at verse 15, God sends out His gospel preachers. The preachers, secondly, preach the gospel. Third, they, the Jews, hear the gospel of God's grace and their need for faith in Christ. And fourth and finally, they call out to Christ and come to faith in Christ. William Lenski puts it this way: an adequate presentation of the word as a means of grace for producing faith must touch all links of the chain. You know, so all four of these links, cords, knots are important. You know, that's God's gospel strategy for the preaching of the good news. You know, it's a strategy we are called to follow as His servants. You know, still a part of this gospel strategy and encouragement there in verse 15 of Romans 10. You know, here is one of the six Old Testament quotes. You know, Romans 10, remember, is saturated with Old Testament scripture. There are six Old Testament quotes just in these verses. Four of them are from Isaiah. You know, first here, Romans 10:15 in the King James. I like this translation. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now hear it from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Excuse me, Isaiah 52, verse 7. We'll get to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says in Zion, your God reigns. Now, just considering verse 15 here in God's gospel strategy. You know, God's word praises the feet of the messengers. You know, stop and think about that. He doesn't say, boy, you've got a sharp mind. You have a golden tongue, a winsome personality. He says, God's gospel messengers have beautiful feet, welcome feet. You know, think about feet for a little bit. You know, one of the great loving sacrificial services of Christ, washing his disciples' feet. Imagine that. You're walking around in sandals in Roman streets all day. You know, Christ humbly lays aside his clothes, takes up the basin, the towel, washes the feet of all the disciples, all 12, including Judas. Dirty, calloused, smelly, weary feet. You know, why feet? You know, because it's when God created us, he gave us feet so that we could walk, we could go and proclaim the good news of the gospel. You know, God's word as well prompts us to remember that God sovereignly sends out his servants to preach. And this is where I love the King James, the gospel of peace and the glad tidings of good things. You know, there's good news. You know, we are to proclaim that gospel. I believe there's strains here of Jesus' great commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 and following, Jesus himself. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, how do we make disciples? How does the Lord use us to make disciples? You know, going, preaching, teaching, baptizing. You know, the Lord uses means to accomplish his will. You know, gospel strategy. We're to be preaching the good news. You know, not to be proud, but just to acknowledge this. If you have the back of your bulletin, I don't know whether you read the very back. We don't change it week to week. You know, but you know, in our budget that our congregation adopted for 2021, we will be, by God's grace, giving $36,000 to missions. About 19% of our budget, Lord willing. Look where that goes. Four missionary families, one single missionary, Germany, Japan, Peru, and David Gallet, who travels around the world. Four gospel ministries, three here in Opelousas, you know, one in Mississippi. You know, we support our denomination, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. And not to boggle you with details, but that includes our conference center, Von Clarken, Christian Education, Central Services, Erskine College and Seminary, Outreach North America and World Witness. We support our presbytery, Catawba Presbytery. And here, even at Hope Church, we support our Deacons Fund, Mercy Ministry, Local Outreach Ministry. Why is that? You know, obedience to God's gospel strategy to send out his equipped messengers to proclaim the good news of salvation for all people. You know, or to put it more succinctly, a scripturally healthy church is a sending church. You know, and let us pray that we would not only be sending out our our tithes, our gifts, but pray that the Lord would raise up workers, even our young people, others, to go forth to serve him. You know, that's God's gospel strategy, preaching the good news. But that's the good news. Look at now at verse 16. Remember, there's still a problem here with Israel. And God's word brings it to light. But they, Romans 10:16, but they, the Jewish hearers, have not all obeyed the gospel. They've heard it, but they've not heeded it. It's good that they've heard it, you know, but there's a wrench here. There's a difficulty. They have not obeyed it. And it seems that the Apostle Paul writes this with sorrow in his heart. You know, he's not looking to poke his finger in their eye, but rather to gently, graciously encourage not only the Jews to hear, but the Greeks, the Gentiles, to say, you need to come alongside those who are reluctant, resistant to hearing the gospel. Now he quotes Isaiah 53, verse 1, there in verse 16. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? You know, and if you go to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53 is one of the great chapters of Isaiah, speaking of God's suffering servant. You know, prophesied by Isaiah some 800 years before Christ's incarnation and death. It said the apostle returns to that subject which permeates this section of Romans, the unbelief of Israel. You know, there's a resistance to the gospel. It's true then, it's true now. You know, at times gospel preaching can fall upon deaf ears and hardened hearts. You're sowing gospel seeds, and yes, it will fall on rocky soil. But don't quit. Persevere. You know, but there's a word of gospel hope now. In verse 17, that same verse I read to the children, verse you ought to have circled, highlighted in your Bibles. You know, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You know, how does God choose to save lost sinners? It's through the preaching and teaching proclamation of his word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The seed for saving faith in Christ sprouts when we hear the good and glad tidings of the gospel. You know, a part of proclaiming that gospel is that we hear that we're sinners. You know, Romans 3:23. Refresh our memories, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's part of the gospel. But then Romans 3, verse 24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. You know, we hear of our, not only of our sin, but our need for a Savior. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You know, two ways to look at that word of Christ. Either the words that Christ actually proclaim. You know, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. Or it can also be understood as the words about Christ. All of Scripture points us to Christ. You know, those precious words concerning Christ. I believe it was in the Sunday school reading for today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, brothers and sisters, we must never forget the power of God's word to bring gospel transformation, even to those who initially reject the good news about Christ and the cross. You know, we're often trying to let ourselves, I know I try to let myself off the hook. Well, I can't. I'm not too good about explaining it to others. Just read the word to God's people. Read the words of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit be at work. And he is. You know, to draw them to Christ. You know, yet there's one more rhetorical question. Verse 18. But I ask, have they, the Jews, Jewish believers, have they not heard? Indeed they have. And now he quotes from Psalm 19:4. The same responsive reading that was read for us today. Why Psalm 19? Take a look at it again this afternoon. You know, the first half, verses 1 through 6, deal with God's general revelation. God as our creator. You know, but then the second half of Psalm 19 speaks of God's special revelation, speaks of God's law, God's rules, God's scripture, the words of Christ. And so here in God's word, we see that the Apostle Paul is reminding not only the Gentiles, but the Jews. Yes, God is speaking to you. He speaks to you, first of all, through his creation. You know that there is a great God, a glorious God, a good God. Robert Haldane put it this way, the Son, S-U-N, the Son of creation, preaches to all nations the existence, the unity, the power, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. So that being said, Israel cannot plead ignorance. We didn't hear. Were you talking to me? Yeah, they've heard it. They've heard it in God's word. They've seen it in creation. And yet there is this gospel stoniness. You know, they have hearts of stone, not new hearts of flesh. You know, for these past months, I've been trying, and I emphasize the word trying, to deliberately curtail my captivation with current news. Some days it's a losing battle. I can't resist. You know, but our sin-weary world needs good news today. You know, more than just news. Well, okay, you can take your masks off in public, some stores, still be on your guard. Or news, well, stock market seems to be edging up a little bit, still worried about inflation, other concerns. You know, we need the gospel. You know, we need that good news. And we as Christians need the good news. Every day, it said we are to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith in Christ. Thank you. You know, hear the words of one of our Christmas hymns. I almost sang it. We're going to sing it this morning. Thought about it too late. God rest you, merry gentlemen. In other words, God rest you joyful. God keep you content in Christ. Not only to gentlemen, but to women, to youth, to children. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. There's good news. When we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. So that we wouldn't forget it, that refrain is mentioned twice. O tidings of comfort and joy. submit to you there is comfort and joy nowhere else than in the gospel, than in Christ. But when we have heard the word of Christ and believed in him for salvation, we must then tell others these gospel tidings of comfort and joy. This good news is not to be hoarded, stashed away. Finally, there's a gospel sovereignty. Quickly, the last few verses. We are to be responding to the good news. There's a gospel strategy, a gospel stoniness, now a gospel sovereignty. Three Old Testament quotes here in these last verses. First one, Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. If you take a look at that in your Bibles, it's the song of Moses, the last song that he sang before the Lord called him home. The Lord is prophetically speaking to Israel. And we hear this, I will make you, the Lord himself is speaking to his people. I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. Here he is speaking to Israel. Who will they be jealous of? They will be jealous of the Gentiles. With a foolish nation, those who are spiritually ignorant, I will make you angry. You know, God is seeking to lovingly call, graciously goad Israel into responding here. You know, why would God do this to Israel? You take a look at Deuteronomy 32. It's their sins of idolatry, false worship. We see the sovereignty of God, and we're going to see that more clearly in Romans 11. God grafts in, that's the expression, the Gentiles. The second quote there in Romans 10, verse 20, is from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. Then Isaiah is so bold, courageous as to say, I have been found, and this is God speaking. Isaiah is quoting the Lord speaking. I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. God has graciously allowed himself to be found by those who did not seek him. God revealed himself. Sovereignly revealed himself to those who did not ask for him. It's all about grace here. You know, we don't seek God. We're like Adam and Eve. We run from God. Naked. Try to make our own clothes, our own righteousness. But our sovereign God graciously shows himself. He reveals himself to us in his Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Last quote there, Isaiah 65, verse 2, and this is the, I believe, the most powerful quote. They're all gracious and show us the sovereignty of God. And again, you can hear the gospel sadness in the Apostle Paul's voice. But of Israel, he says, this is God speaking again to his people. All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. You know, you can picture that, you know, in your mind. You know, granted, it's an image here. You know, God is speaking to us in terms we could understand here. God is graciously holding out his hands to us. And who's he holding out his hands to? A disobedient, a rebellious, an obstinate, a contrary, obstinate people, stubborn like a mule. And Israel here bears full responsibility for God's holy judgment upon them. You know, but where's the grace here? You know, look again at Romans 10:21, all day long. You know, God doesn't just say, well, you missed it. Sunrise to sunset. You know, God is holding out his hands. Come on. And yet Israel refused to yield. John Murray, quoting another commentator, says, it is a picture of the everlasting arms spread out in unwearied love. Now what a great description of God's love for us, unwearied love. Or to put it another way, Matthew Henry, a little bit more plain, good for people like me, Christ was crucified with his hands stretched out on the cross. How do we know God held out his hands for us? We see it in Christ. His nail-pierced hands. You know, when our children, close with this. You know, when our children were young and lightweight, I was a little bit stronger then. You know, we lived in a house that had stairs. And Lynn didn't always get excited about this, but I would tell them to jump to me. You know, they were at the top of the stairs, or, you know, we started at the lower stairs, worked our way to the top, you know, and I would hold out my hands. And I would say, jump. And they would jump in faith to me. And I was gladly waiting for them to jump, and even more glad when I caught them in my outstretched arms. You know, contrast that with, you know, God's sovereign readiness to receive rebellious sinners. All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's us, apart from Christ. You know, what are the takeaways? You know, in God's word, God still holds out his hands, his loving hands, you know, to lost sinners. Disobedient, rebellious, obstinate sinners. And he calls us to hear his voice. He calls us to turn from our sins and to trust in Christ. But then he calls us as well, when we've heard that gospel message, that good news that our God graciously saves sinners, he calls us then to go forth to tell others that good news. May we not only hear God's word, but may we be heralds of God's word, the good news of salvation in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your steadfast, sure, saving love for us in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this good news of the gospel. It's not just good news today or this year, this decade. It's true in every year, in every century, in every culture, in every country. And Lord, may we rejoice in that good news of salvation in Christ. But Lord, be pleased to use us to go forth to tell others that God graciously saves sinners. Give you thanks always in Jesus' name. Amen.